Blog Talk Radio.
That's right.
You are now listening to Colin Politics.
That's right. That's right.
Hello, hello, everybody. This is another episode of the one and only Mystic Politics Radio Showgram. Today is June 18th, 2009. Today we have a very, very special show. It's like an after-school special in here. We have the one and only Carolyn Harris, a.k.a. Ma Justice from Oracle Broadcasting. And we are going to be getting into EMP, ELF, EMF, direct energy weapons, and a lot of the electronic warfare, which is waged against us by the Illuminati, the priest class, and just by capitalism at large, it seems, launching a lot of the stuff at us, regardless of its effect on us. And that's pretty much it. Ma, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Now, I'm very, very stoked to have you on the show. Been a fan of yours for a couple months now. I've been checking out a lot of your shows over on Oracle Broadcasting. I just recently caught up with a lot of your archive stuff within the last week. A lot of good info there. I particularly liked your last show on Tavistock and the Delphi Technique and a lot of the mind pattern stuff that they do on us. Now, where can, for the benefit of the people who haven't heard your show before, where can they pick up your show at?
Well, you can get it in the archives at Oracle Broadcasting, which is oraclebroadcasting.com, or I also have all the archives up on my website, which is nwolibrary.com.
Awesome, yeah, and I really hope people go and check you out there because your NWO Library, the archive over there, I believe it's nwolibrary.com/library, has a lot of the docs, and even a lot of the documents that we're going to be discussing tonight is contained over there at that site. I use it myself as a reference. For instance, whenever I have to convince my mom or my dad about something, I just shoot them over there and be like, hey, just read it for yourself. It's all sourced, you know. So, and that's really what kind of drew me into a lot of your research is the fact that you don't really speculate on anything. You just kind of a researcher, just go out there and dig out a lot of the material that these people put out themselves and use it against the priest class, as it were, to try to awaken the public. Not a whole lot of speculation in your research.
No, nothing like using their own words against them. They are very arrogant and like to put it in our faces, so hey, might as well share that information for the people who don't know where to look or have never heard of many of these subjects before. I try to tie it all together.
Yeah, definitely. And what we're going to be talking about today is electromagnetic radiation, electromagnetic pulses, EMP stuff, electromagnetic frequencies, otherwise known as EMF, extra-low frequencies, ELF, and the whole phenomenon, which is referred to as electromagnetic radiation at large. So I think the best way to kick it off, I think one of the shortest subjects is just basically the term electromagnetic pulse. Now, where, what is that? How did it originate? And what are the effects of that, basically? Or just what is EMP?
Well, EMP is basically a short-duration burst of electromagnetic energy. And there are two kinds. There are nuclear-based or non-nuclear-based. Obviously, nuclear-based is going to be the result of a nuclear weapon. It will fry any unprotected electrical equipment, anything connected to electrical cables, which then act as giant lightning rods or antennas. They will all be affected by the pulse, and it'll basically fry all of the electronics. Non-nuclear can be generated without the use of nuclear weapons. And there are a number of devices that can achieve that, ranging from a low inductance capacitor bank discharged into a single loop antenna or microwave generator to explosively pumped flux compression generator. But, you know, those can be delivered in a payload of bombs and cruise missiles also. They don't have to be nuclear, but they will also fry any kind of electronics. Now, the militaries of the, you know, polar powers, as it were, back in the Cold War, were really, really concerned about that. So they wanted to make sure that all of their computer systems and everything were hardened against EMP bursts. So recently the United States has found that, oh, whoops, a lot of the electronics and motherboards that they've gotten from China are not EMP hardened. Oh, so I guess they have to reorder them all again. But that is the basic definition of EMP, electronic magnetic pulse, and what it does.
What's the process of the hardening? Is that just extra, maybe like lead shielding and the electrical? Or what's the process of the hardening? Is it just the insulation of the electronics?
Yeah, basically. It needs to be shielded from that.
Oh, okay. All right, now the other phenomena is electromagnetic frequency, otherwise known as EMF, extra low frequency, ELF, and electromagnetic radiation. Now, I just have a kind of cursory knowledge on a lot of this stuff. I tried to study real hard, but there's just so much stuff to get into. I was hoping you could illuminate me and the listeners in on that kind of phenomenon, what it is.
Sure. Electromagnetic field, or EMF, is the electromagnetic field is the physical field produced by electrically charged objects, and it affects the behavior of any charged objects in the vicinity of the field. Electromagnetic radiation, which is sometimes abbreviated as EMR, often to something called light, is the phenomenon that takes a form of the self-propagating waves in a vacuum or matter. And it consists of the electric and magnetic field components, which oscillate in a phase perpendicular to each other and perpendicular to the direction of the energy propagation. And I'm actually going to drop a picture of what that looks like in your Blog Talk Radio chat room for the benefit, hopefully, of all the people that are there right now, because it's kind of hard to imagine in your mind. But electromagnetic radiation is classified into several types according to the frequency of its wave, and this is in order of increasing frequency and decreasing wavelengths. Okay, radio waves, microwaves, terahertz radiation, infrared radiation, which we all know as heat, visible light, ultraviolet radiation, X-rays, and gamma rays. And then, you know, as a human being, we only see a very small window of that. But it also carries energy and momentum in a way that can be imparted to matter with which it interacts, such as, you know, light and heat. Well, heat your body up. So that's what electromagnetic radiation is. ELF stands for extremely low frequency, and that is very, very low. It's 30 to 300 hertz waves, and they carry very little ionizing radiation and very low heat, and therefore do not manifest gross observable physical effects on living organisms. published Soviet experiments with ELS reveal that they had a marked increase in psychiatric and nervous system disorders and symptoms of stress for sailors who are working close to ELS generators. So while you may not feel it as heat, it really does affect you. VLS stands for very low frequency, and that is 20 to 35 kilohertz, or low radio frequency modulation can cause nausea, vomiting, and abdominal pains. And some very low frequency sound generators and certain frequency ranges can actually cause disruption of your human organs. And then at high power levels, it can actually crumble masonry. And so such a system could actually be used to create artificial earthquakes. So even though it's low, doesn't mean that it's not powerful.
Yeah, that's really amazing to me. Now, what are the causes of these things? Now, I've been hearing more and more about it and loosely related to cell phones, but I understand there's a bunch of phenomena or a bunch of causes of these magnetic fields or this radiation. Could you list us off some of the causes of these?
Well, any device or appliance or anything that uses electronics, both inside and outside of your home, produce some electromagnetic radiation to varying degrees. I mean, obviously, power lines, appliances inside your home, cell phones, computers, even the electronics in your car, although that's going to be a lot less than some of the other things, but they all produce some degree of electromagnetic radiation, and that can affect you to quite a degree, depending on how much radiation is leaked.
Now, and that gets into a lot of the cell phone towers, microwaves, Wi-Fi, basically
right.
everything in our day-to-day life. Everything around me, like for me personally, I'm a tech guy. You know what I mean? I sit here in front of my laptop all day, and I have my BlackBerry just pressed to my ear. And the more I learn about this kind of stuff, it's very disheartening because it just seems like I'm almost unwittingly just like sterilizing myself and doing all these other ungodly things. Now, what are the effects of these phenomena, and why should we be concerned? From the little I know about it, it doesn't look too bright.
Well, it can do a lot to you, and you should be concerned. Their effects shown for radio and radar signals, but also just regular electromagnetic radiation. And again, this has to do with the amount and the frequency of the wave. But signals like that, radio, radar, and just electromagnetic radiation can affect your neurological activity in that it can alter your brain activity, including your EEG in reaction times, cause memory loss, headaches, fatigue, and concentration problems, dizziness, which is also called the microwave syndrome. It can impair sleep and learning. It has cardiological effects also in that it can alter blood pressure and your heart rhythm, your heart rate variability, it increases the heart disease and heart attack mortality. It also can affect your immune system in that it can impair it. And like we need anything else to impair our immune system nowadays, but it also has serious reproductive damage also. It can reduce the sperm count in military personnel that are exposed to radar. It can increase miscarriage and congenital abnormalities and doubles the incidence of twins in families of personnel who are exposed to radar. It can even alter the leaf structure of plants exposed. It can increase the growth of trees. It can reduce the fertility of mice that are, exposed to these type of waves. and it can cause complete infertility in mice over several generations, exposed at levels that are well below what are considered to be safe. It also has a number of genotoxic results. It can reduce melatonin, which many of us know is what helps you sleep, and alter your calcium ions. And, of course, a lot of our body depends on having significant or adequate levels of calcium. It can enhance the heat shock proteins at extremely low exposure levels in a very highly reproducible manner, showing that they're not stimulated by heat but a reaction to a toxic protein. And that's also at very, very low levels of microwaves. It can damage chromosomes. And, you know, that's kind of important. Alters our DNA, can break the DNA strand completely, can alter gene transcription activity, which, of course, means that your genes, are not telling your cell to reproduce properly. It can cause precancer, basically. It's called neoplastically transforming your cells, which is precancer of your cells. It can enhance cell death in a dose-response manner. It just everything. It can just really mess you up and cause lots of cancers. and these biological health effects are consistent with the biological understanding that brains, hearts, and cells are sensitive to electromagnetic signals because they use electromagnetic signals for their regulation, control, and natural processes, including those that are monitored by EEG and ECG. And there's overwhelming evidence that electromagnetic radiation is genotoxic, alters your cellular ions, your neurotransmitters, and neurohormones, and interferes with your brain and heart signals.
Yeah, the conventional science is really catching up to the old esoteric knowledge, the more we're really realizing a lot of what was, you know, used to be considered magic is now just considered high technology. A lot of this stuff, you know, for instance, a lot of the, like you were saying, a lot of the effects of EMF and the magnetic and radiation fields on the human body can have magical type of effects, as in thought control, regulation of body functions. It can, you know, change people's will around, and it's just a lot of almost scary things. And you had mentioned earlier about the mice and a lot of the stuff, and it seems like it's not even so much. It seems like no matter where you go, you're bombarded. The only way that you can really escape this stuff is to really unplug and move out to the middle of the country. And I've heard a term thrown around. I believe it's called electromagnetic smoke, I think, is the term used for a lot of the electronic haze that we're bombarded with in the middle of the cities. So I think people really, really need to be cautious over this and, look at the effects of this, because there do seem to be long-term effects to prolonged electronic phenomena, because this stuff was not around. Yeah, sure, you know, like a little bit of electromagnetism here and there. Some people call it gravity, but I think we're understanding more and more that it's really just the common functions of the Earth. It's just a little bit of electromagnetism, but we're talking about fields that are so incredibly low. You know, we as pronounce anything today, but we're not used to this kind of phenomena around here, and it seems like in the last 100 years, we are really doing a number on our neurological system, and like you said, it's passing down genetically. We're mammals just like the mice, so if it's damaging them and causing infertility in a couple generations, I would speculate that, you know, to some degree, it's having that same effect on humans. Have you seen anything to that effect?
Yes, actually. When it talks about, destroying breaking your DNA strands and altering your DNA and damaging your chromosomes, I mean, that is a multi-generational damage. So I hope you don't sit with your laptop on your lap because that's damaging your sperm. And men who walk around with, for example, a cell phone or BlackBerry in their pocket oh, that's not good either. It can damage male and female eggs and sperm, and what happens is the children are born basically genetically damaged, and so they're starting out that way. And of course, cell phones and Wi-Fi and a lot of these electronic appliances are so ubiquitous in our world and in our Western culture that, you know, just from the get-go, already being genetically damaged isn't enough. They will be further damaged by all of this electromagnetic pollution, which you were alluding to earlier. And so their little eggs and sperm will be damaged. So as we progress, the generations become increasingly less viable. And if it leads to total and complete fertility in mice within several generations, and they're exposed at a very much lower dose, that's exactly what's going to happen to us.
Yeah, now you had mentioned blackberries earlier, I presume, or maybe that's just what I identified with, because I'm chatting on a blackberry right now via Blog Talk Radio. That's how we connect. And as we talk, I'm sitting here pressed. I have this pressed against my temple because the blackberry is about the size of a deck of cards nowadays. So I really got to wedge it in there to get it to my ear and my mouth at the same time, in type deal. So, you know, while we were doing our little bit of pre-interview today, you know, while we're discussing this, that was just pulsing through my mind. You know, the effect that this blackberry is now having on my head. And for the purpose of the radio audio, you know, I have to keep it on conventional mouthpiece for the audio quality, but you know, now during the day I try to, whenever possible, put it on speaker, get it to get about, you know, a foot and a half, 2 feet away from my face, to try to minimize it. I'm sitting a little bit further back from my laptop, but I think all this is kind of, I'm kind of fooling myself, because I'm sitting amidst I'm very close to a TV. I have Wi-Fi surging all around my head, radio signal, satellite. I got this BlackBerry pressed up against me. You know, the laptop's emitting radiation as we speak, and I can just feel myself going sterile now. And it's one of those subjects where it's like, oh, no. It's almost like when you start looking into what you're actually eating. It's kind of like, yeah, there's nowhere to run, man. Everything you eat is kind of filthy. Now, mentioning BlackBerries, I see a lot of people wearing Bluetooth, and I've seen it thrown around a little bit that Bluetooth could ease the effects of some of this phenomena. Do you find that to be true?
Well, only if you have that little Bluetooth earpiece off until you have to make or receive a call. Otherwise, it's broadcasting this radiation right into your brain, into your ear. It extends out to your jaw and your lymph nodes under your jaw, which, of course, and it still causes cancer in any or all those regions.
Yeah.
So your best bet really is to have the little corded earbuds with the microphone on the wire. I mean, if you have to use a cell phone or a BlackBerry, that's really going to be your best bet. And hold your phone away from you, arm's length,
really,
if you can.
Yeah, because who has a black or a Bluetooth and leaves it off in their ear? So I guess you'd have to coordinate some kind of deal where once you have your cell phone in your pocket and it's sterilizing you, you know, once you hear it ring, I think if the end effect is really just kind of, you're just going to have to turn the phone off. Now, does turning the phone off help?
Yes, actually it does.
Okay.
I mean, the best bet is to keep your phone off and only turn it on when you need to make a call. Check your messages, and if at all possible, return your messages on a landline. I mean, that's the smartest thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I think that's something we should all look into, really, just kind of cutting the umbilical cord with these cell phones, because, you know, what really started off as kind of a tool to, you know, emergency situations or something utilitarian, now it's really turned into, you know, I find myself doing it all the time where I have this thing constantly on, and I wonder how much of the electromagnetic radiation permeates through my hands while I'm just texting, doing a lot of these things, sorting through my emails, you know, I myself, I'm very concerned with these things. I run a couple financial websites, and when I'm not doing that, as Ma Justice very well knows, I'm in one of the Oracle chats, or I'm doing this or that, or running my billion MySpaces, and I'm just like, during the last couple of years, I really made a transition to being just a digital boy, and I'm very kind of concerned, you know, and it seems like a lot of the electronica culture that they're pushing us into, number one, has the effect of cutting us off from other people and making us more, let's say, I don't know, politically socialized and more sheepish. And number two, it's just irradiating us. So kind of alarming on both counts. Now, you had mentioned getting your messages from your cell phone forwarded over to a landline, and I've seen a couple options where people could do that. And I remember in passing you talking briefly in one of your past shows about the differences between cordless phones and non-cordless phones and the different effects, and I was wondering if you can get into that a little bit for us.
Sure. Well, I think it's important to explain why cell phones are called cell phones. They get their name from the fact that they operate using cells of around 1 to 3 miles, and at the center of each cell is a tower or a big giant antenna, and you know, that relays the handset cell phone signal sent out from the phone in your hand to the telecom landline structure and sends the other half of the duplex signal to the handset. So as you, the cell phone or BlackBerry user, travel in your car or whatever from one cell to another, frequency is automatically shifted to accommodate both of the users in the conversation and the change of location. Now, the handset next to your ear is going to operate on one set of frequencies while the tower is operating on another. And cell phone handset frequencies are between typically 830 to 850 megahertz, and that's the bottom of the microwave mobile band because the signals are technically classified as being microwaves. Now, PCS phones operate from 900 to 940 megahertz. And newer ones even operate at higher frequencies, around 1,850 to 1,990 megahertz. While all the PCS ones use digital signals, the other ones have adopted the digital as well because of the high volume and everything, you're still getting irradiated. Now, your question is whether it's worse to use a cell phone or a corded phone.
Yeah, and the difference is between a phone with a line in it, you know, just your standard old, you know, 1970 phone cord stretching across the room, and the more conventional kind of very, very cheap and available portable handset phones. What's the difference? Because from what I recall you saying, there's not much of a difference between portable handset phone, cordless, let's say, and a cell phone as far as the effects.
That's right. There really isn't. And, in fact, I am actually frying my brain just to be on this program tonight. I am on a 6 gigahertz phone, my little cordless phone that I bought that I thought, oh, would be so great. I refused to have a cell phone. I thought I was really protecting my precious brain. But no, I'm not. Cordless hand phones at home are frying your brain just as much. If at all possible, use the corded old 1970s phones. I mean, you can still get them in all kinds of shapes and colors and varieties and with neon in them and all spiffy and styly too. But really, you know, your brain is your best feature, no matter how beautiful or fabulous you are. Beauty fades, but your brain is hopefully going to fade less quickly. So we have to protect our brains, and this is one way that we can do it. I mean, why choose to fry yourself when you don't have to?
Yeah, definitely. You know, this is your brain on cell phones.
Exactly.
Type of deal. So, all right, I think this is as good a time as any to go ahead and take a little break. And, you know, we like to break it up here. We do not have any sponsorship yet, but have a feeling if quality broadcasts and guests like Carolyn Harris, a.k.a. Ma Justice, keep coming on, you know, people are going to be throwing money at us real quick. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and get into a song here, guys. And let's see here. What are we going to play for you kids? I think that we're going to get into a little bit of Ozzy Osbourne. Me, Everett Tucker, and Mystic Politics Radio, we're going to be right back on the other side of this with our guest, Carolyn Harris. And we're back. Yeah, sorry about the little delay there. I thought that song would be a little bit longer. Okay, let's go ahead and click stop on that. I guess there was a little dead noise on the end of that. Nah, I kept it running. All right, so this is Mystic Politics Radio. We're getting into a lot of the insidious electronica used by the Illuminati and the corporate-controlled media to fry our brains versus cell phones and EMF, ELF, EMP. And a lot of the other mumbo-jumbo jargon, magic frequency stuff that's just frying us as we sit here and chat. So as we left off, Carolyn, you still there with us?
I sure am.
All right, great. Hate to miss out on a little bit of your illumination here. Now, when we were getting off, we had just finished talking about cordless phones and non-cordless phones for the people just joining us right now. And basically the consensus is if it doesn't have a wire on it, then you're basically screwed, you know. And, you know, it's looking like it almost seems like we're going to have to take a little bit of retrograde in what we think of as modern convenience in order to keep propagating our species, you know, as it were. But we're going to get into a little bit of that later on, and we're going to have a little bit of tidbits on what you guys can do to protect yourself from this. Right now, I think we're going to talk about the effects on human beings and really the little humans, because they're the most important, you know. I think our main goal in this life is basically to keep our species going and it seems that a lot of this technology, it really ravages the bodies of our small children. And I think in studying this is the, really the way to illuminate a lot of people, because no one likes to see a kid get hurt, you know? So, sorry, just eyeball in the chat there. If anybody wants to come in and chat with us, we have a couple chats open. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics. And we have a chat and go chat room right there. You have to sign up for that one. And also, at the top of the screen, you can see a little green chat now text box. And that one is for the Blog Talk Radio chat, although it's a little bit clunky. And I cannot, only a couple messages are coming through. And I've had a couple people Skype me and message me in the chat and go chat saying that one's not working. So I'm kind of ignoring that one for now, and I'm focusing on the other chat and go. So blah, 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 blah. Kind of lost my train of thought here. Carolyn, help me out. What was I talking about?
The effects on children.
The children, the little ones. Now, like I said, I have a cursory knowledge on this, and what I have been able to sneak in my studying, I like to wait till the last night and then shoot everything all at once. I had seen some stuff in regards to leukemia and brain cancer. And I wondered if you could illuminate us a little bit more about that and what other effects is it having on children?
Well, it has a lot of effects. In 2005, the Journal of the American Academy of Pediatrics confirmed that children are especially sensitive to all electromagnetic fields because their developing nervous systems are fragile. Their brain tissues are much more conductive, and their smaller skeletons are more easily penetrated by the waves. And it affects them in the following very disturbing ways. Microwaves, specifically those from cell phones, but also from all microwave radiation, can cause lens opacity similar to cataracts. It was demonstrated in the 1970s that weak microwave fields cause debilitating, what they call subcapular eye lesions, sometimes even years after exposure. Microwave phones, which is what they should properly be called, can make children's brain impaired. Brain scans now show that microwave phone radiation penetrates deeply into a child's brain. Within minutes, a cell phone microwaves can open what they call the blood-brain barrier, allowing a substance called albumin and other chemicals from the tiny little blood vessels to leak into their sensitive brain tissues. And then that leakage then causes irreversible oxidative stress and nerve tissue damage. The brain hormones, including melatonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and the thyroid-stimulating hormones, are disrupted by microwaves. And, of course, it highly elevates a child's cancer risk. And like you mentioned before, leukemia. Now, the leukemia was mostly studied with respect to children living near power stations and giant power lines. But I think it's really important to for all parents out there listening, or aunts and uncles, grandparents, whatever, to understand or at least pay attention and find out whether your child's school has Wi-Fi. If it does, you need to be vociferous in your opposition to that. And also find out if your child's school sells space on their roof for cell phone towers, because that is becoming more and more prevalent. And even if your child doesn't use a cell phone, you know, a lot of other children in the school do, but even if they don't allow them in the school for the children, the teachers have them, but if there's a cell phone tower on top of your child's school or right next to your child's school, your child is being bathed in very, very dangerous electromagnetic radiation that obviously can damage them, you know, not just in the present, but in the future, and as we talked about before your break, can damage subsequent generations.
That is just amazing. Now, that is something I had not seen. So schools are leasing out, I'm sure just for fiscal reasons, one would hope, You know, I think between you and me, I think we know a lot about the eugenics and a lot of the New World Order stuff, you know, the killing off of the non-Illuminati bloodlines. That's, you know, a topic for another day. That might be another reason why. But let's just say it's just for fiscal reasons. I was not aware that schools are putting cell phone towers on their roofs. I mean, that is just amazing to me. I mean, now talking about these kind of effects, well, let's actually jump it around. I'm going to jump to another question now, kind of going from being that there's cell phone towers on schools now, which just kind of blew my mind a little bit. What is America, to your knowledge, have you seen the American government or any kind of regulatory agency or consumer health organization or doctors or anybody do anything as far as the regulation of this electromagnetic radiation?
No, not in America. Many of us who are researchers, listen to talk radio, who are aware to some degree, realize that the industries, actually regulations, and sometimes even the legislation themselves. And it's important for everyone to understand also that not only do these industries write the regulations and the legislation, but many of the lawmakers themselves actually have financial incentive because they have investment in these industries. I mean, hey, cellular phones, it's a growth industry. We're now selling them to smaller and smaller children, right? I mean, what is the boom within the last 5 years of children carrying cell phones? And, of course, it's marketed to parents that we need to keep track of our children. And so we should give them a cell phone so that, you know, there's that parental umbilical cord. But no, it's not that. But in other countries, they are acknowledging the risk. Okay, Russian scientists that are responsible for public health have issued urgent warning about wireless health damage, specifically recommending that children under 18 limit the use of cell phones to emergency calls only. British and Austrian health officials warn that kids may be especially susceptible to serious health problems from any wireless devices. And Canadian officials say children should limit cell phone use until health service catches up with technology. I mean, that is actually common sense. Well, the French health minister in January 2008 said that kids should be allowed no more than 6 wireless minutes at any one time. Now, it's important for perspective here to understand that Chernobyl workers were limited to a few minutes in nuclear radiation areas. So what does that tell you? You know, and of course, we have no agency here warning us about really the truly horrific risks to our children. You know, and what is the mean or the median? I mean, they talk for hours and hours at a time. So, no, America doesn't care because it's owned by corporations and industries. Yes.
Yeah, and I would even think that it's less corporations and industries than people think, because, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that a lot of these cell phone companies are just subsidiaries of a larger corporations, and I know for sure the technology inside the cell phones themselves are proprietary. You know, like back in the day, you hear Qualcomm being thrown around a lot, and a lot of the processors and the proprietary tech inside of those are just owned by one company, which leases it out, you know, to everybody else. So I know for sure there is definitely, you know, so the owner of that company in particular, whoever it is that's, you know, who has the go-to chip at the moment, I'm sure would have a lot of stake ventured in keeping this market unregulated and keep people talking as much as possible, and to keep cell phones as disposable as possible, therefore putting less craftsmanship in them. You know, it's kind of like there's a whole zeitgeist thing. You know, these cell phones weren't built to be sustainable. They were built to be flashy, kind of be a glitchy, kind of as much tech as you can throw in it that year and then get revamped the next year. That being said, I'm sure not a lot of ergonomic testing and not a lot of what you would refer to as hardening is being done to internalize a lot of these pulses, which I'm sure is possible. I was looking online, and I did see some stuff on there as far as EMF-friendly phones and things like that. So if you have a little bit of money, you can throw money at the problem. There's things that you can do to protect yourself and maybe chat a little bit more, but I'm sure it's just marginal anyways. So, oh, and in regards to America's regulation of the Wi-Fi, I have seen that the European Union countries are, I guess, I don't know, petitioning or legislating or I don't know, you know, for whatever good that does. A lot of that is just to kind of placate the public. But it looks like they are at least acknowledging the problem, and it looks like they might be making moves to remove Wi-Fi from the classroom, FYI. I don't know if you're aware of that, but so that's good news. You know, European kids won't have scrambled brains, but then again, that kind of lends credence to the whole thing where the power is right, American as the America as the dominant nation is kind of lowering, and Europe may be on the rise again. Especially, in particular, Russia over there, you know, Russia and Asia. Not attached to Europe, but definitely not American. Now, okay, we covered the regulation. So what can the everyday person do to cut down on the radiation? Now, we had talked real briefly about Bluetooth and cordless phones versus corded phones. What can we do, Carolyn, just to kind of cut this down?
Well, obviously you're going to want to unplug anything electrical that you're not using at the time. Many people have suggested plugging as many, you know, what you can into a power strip and just turning that off. Well, you know, you should just unplug it. You should unplug your television when you're not using it. You know, obviously not your refrigerator. That's got to go, but... You know, there are so many different things. You don't use your toaster except for maybe 5 minutes a day. That doesn't need to be plugged in. we'll get into this a little bit later about how this electromagnetic radiation can leak in to your home through innocuous electrical appliances and affect you in different ways. But so there's another reason why you will want to unplug things that you're not using. And, you know, this is beyond the whole green thing that you don't want to use extra electricity.
Well, that would be an added benefit, I would think, you know, a little
sure,
bit of better reserve notes.
Right, who wants to pay more than they need to, you know, but
right.
Really, I think the listeners will understand a lot better why later, but just keep that in mind. Unplug anything that you are not using right now because it doesn't need to be plugged in. You know, use your cell phone only when it's absolutely necessary. And again, if you check your messages on your cell phone and return your messages on a landline anywhere you are near, people will gladly let you use their landline in an office or, you know, somebody else's home. But turn your cell phone off. You know, write down your messages. Use that archaic pencil and paper. You can do it. You can do it. Just write it down and call from a landline, preferably a corded phone. Do not, whatever you do, have Wi-Fi in your home. I go into a lot of detail on episode of my radio show, The Iconoclast Report, about the dangers of cell phones, and I mean, I really, really lay it out in great detail about what Wi-Fi actually does to you and to your children a lot more than I have here, because we have other subjects to cover, but anyone can go access the archive of that by going to www.nwolibrary.com and just click on radio, and you will see a list of previous shows. But really, you don't want to have Wi-Fi in your home. It may be convenient, but it's damaging you and your children in ways that you really can't even imagine. So, and again, check to make sure that there's not Wi-Fi in your children's school and that there's not a cell phone tower on the roof or right next to the school, because I know it's really difficult, but, you know, your child and your grandchildren, their genetic viability, it's really worth it.
It really is, and it seems to me that, you know, one of the biggest things that you can do is just get out of the city. You know, just get away from the electronic fog that they put us in and just really unplug. Now, that's something I happen to be in the middle of buying a home. And I'm going to keep this in mind when I pick my location. I will definitely, like Mild Justice just dropped in the chat rooms, get away from the power lines. You know, I used to work in aerial construction, pulling cable and wiring, and I've seen the innards of these cables that they pull, especially the low power type stuff. It's just copper center with a thin, it seems like aluminum shielding and a little bit of foam in the inside. Nothing really, and it would seem to me that the aluminum, being that they sprinkle aluminum and barium on us as it is when they do chemtrails, that would do very little to shield from the radiation. And it would almost act like an antenna for it anyways, the
yes,
pulse coming out of these things.
Yes, it
so,
actually intensifies it.
Yeah, not only that, you know, a lot of the structure is made up of strand, which is non-insulated. It carries the current. You have to isolate it with a Jimmy apple, or what, I forget what it's called. It's a little glass ceramic thing that you have to tie off between pole to pole from the strand to the wood. And but you know, when you kind of look at it as far as the construction standpoint, even all these power lines and everything, they just kind of make one big antenna.
Yes, they
and,
do. And I wanted to I just wanted to alert your listeners to the fact that moving out to the country is not necessarily going to help you. There have actually been studies that have shown that you are actually at more risk of electromagnetic radiation from a cell phone with a lower signal than you are in the middle of the city. So people who live out in the country and use their cell phones and think, oh, well, you know, we're not close to any cell phone tower or anything, so we should be fine. They're actually at much higher risk of developing brain cancer, cancer in their jaw, of the lymphatic system, and especially cell phone users who have used cell phones for several years, and, of course, people who use them a lot, or Blackberries, are really at a high risk of developing cancer right around the perimeter of the back of their ear, you know, behind their ear in the brain. So
Blackberries are worse than regular phones?
No, I just threw that in there. You use a Blackberry, so that includes you too.
Okay. I was like, oh, man, great. I'm going to die for sure.
Well, we're
okay.
All going to die, aren't we? It's just a matter of how and when.
Yeah, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to have to dig I don't want to have to dig cancer out of my ear, you know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, maybe it's time for a little bit of a change here. And this is definitely going to play a big factor in when my kids get their cell phone. I'm gearing towards never. Maybe, you know, I may be like another, like 30 years old, like I'm over for a barbecue, just throw their cell phones in water accidentally type deal. You know what I mean? Uber protective dad for life. Okay, so now that's enough about the EMF and ELF for now. Some other fun stuff. Well, actually, no, because from what I just I never really made the connection today, but the High Altitude Aerial Research Project, otherwise known as HARP, in the boondocks of Alaska. Which people primarily think of, I don't know what it's. I don't know what the official usage of it is. I mean, I know they say it's for weather control, I guess, is what the government initially got the Alaska to allow them to use the land is a weather control project. But in some things I learned today, it really seems that HARP is really just a big EMF machine.
Well, it is. I don't believe that anywhere in their applications or anything they disclose that it would be used for weather control. But HARP stands for High Frequency Active Rural Research Project. That's HAARP. It is a secret undertaking that is not unlike the Manhattan Project, which gave us, of course, the atomic bomb. Now, there is one man called Dr. Nick Begich, and he wrote a book called Angels Don't Play This Harp, and that was published in 1995. And I encourage every listener on the live stream and archives and out there in computer and radio land to please get this book and read it, because
now you were cutting out a little bit. We had a little bit of distortion on the line, and I believe you said that was Dr. Nick Begich. And
That's
B-E-G-I-C-H.
Yeah.
Okay, and it's Angels Do Not Play, or Angels Don't Play This Harp.
Yes, and it's HAARP. What HAARP does is it irradiates the atmosphere with enormous levels of extra low frequency radio waves. In addition to altering weather patterns and creating storms, it's also known to change the way the human mind operates and even lower our resistance to disease. they look like regular antenna towers, but they specialize in the ELF, or extremely low frequency radio waves. And HAARP is basically an array of a large number of these antenna, you know, just in a grid. and they cover 40 acres, and they're directly connected to a gas field, and then they give uninterrupted and cheap power to those gas fields. And they became fully functional in 1993. Well, if you're wondering how much ELF power this array can throw up into our atmosphere, it's created to beam, quote, 1.7 gigawatts, which is billion watts of radiated power into the ionosphere, which is the electrically charged layer above the Earth's atmosphere. It has the ability to put unprecedented amounts of power in the Earth's atmosphere at strategic locations and to maintain that power injection level, particularly if random pulsing is employed, but in a manner far more precise and better controlled than the detonation of nuclear devices. And how that works is that it will beam it up into a certain coordinate, and it will bounce through the ionosphere and land where they want it to go. it's the largest ionosphere heater in the world, and it is located at a latitude most conducive to putting Eastland's invention into practice. And if you've never looked up a Dr. Eastland, well, we're going to talk about him a little bit later. So in Alaska, it's just the right location on Earth for such an ionosphere heater that can be used to control and manipulate the weather as a weapon. And now I have in my library, the New World Order Library, a bunch of military documents, which are always really, I think, juicy and interesting, because one of their favorite things that they like to do is talk about technologies and capabilities in the future tense that, oh, well, you know, we're working on this, but it doesn't have very much promise. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll be able to do that. And that's all code for we've had this for at least 45 years, and, yes, we're actually using it on you.
Right, and it's kind of the old paradigm, and it makes you wonder why they even mention it at all. It's almost like doing the drills during like 9/11 and 7/7, the UK bombings. It's almost like what Freeman says. They it almost seems like they need our consent, because as far as strategic wise, you know, a lot of the public just aren't aware of these things until they're mentioned by the Pentagon or this or that or the other thing. So it makes me wonder why they even mention it at all. Do you think it's just they mention it to almost in the same way I feel that a lot of Hollywood movies are implanted with kind of realistic situations that which are presented in a sci-fi fashion to correlate that with impossibility in your mind. So when someone says something, you look at them like a conspiracy theorist almost. You know, so go ahead.
I think that's part of it. You mentioned that they need our consent. Well, I guess it depends on where you get the information. You know, the Pentagon doesn't like to disclose anything unless it's already kind of been, to use a colloquial term, busted. But I like to look at Jane's Defense Weekly. I like to read the U.S. Army War College's quarterly called Parameters. And there's a lot, exactly, Karen, there's a lot of resources out there. And what I have found is, honestly, I mean, like, I have transcriptions of speeches that generals have given to, you know, a seminar or a room full of other generals, and somebody transcribed the speech. And basically that one sounds like a bunch of guys gloating over their toys, and they just really can't wait to use them. And they're going to be a little bit more honest when they're talking to their, you know, cohorts than when the Pentagon's given a press conference. I mean, they don't want to give out any information, and they'll lie as much as they can get away with, and then they'll keep lying. But these military documents that I found and other people have sent to me, again, they'll talk about how, you know, well, we don't have this yet. We're looking at it, but it's not very promising. It's usually just baloney because the military's technology is usually anywhere between 25 to 45 years ahead of what they allow the general public to have. And part of that is, you know, how do we not know about that? Well, what they do is they use the principle of compartmentalization. And I have a friend who has their own business doing projects for the government, physics or, you know, whatever their specific specialty is. And so they have the in on a government website where they're asking, they have requests for proposals. And what they do is they will take, you know, their brains will take one really nefarious project, and they will break it up into, you know, 65 different sub-projects, and they'll advertise that they would like request for proposal on, you know, all these different seemingly random things. And once, you know, they grant the proposal, you know, they grant the job to somebody, pay them, they get the project going, that person's tiny piece turns out well, they will give the scientists the option to continue, although the project will be black and they will never be able to mention it or publish anything about it. And if they do, well, you know what happens to you if you do that. Or they can just leave it there and the government will take over. Well, you know, most scientists are going to, depending on their particular morals and dedication to those morals, well, most of them are going to choose to go black. And so, but up until that time, and even after that time, they still may not realize the full scope of the project. They only know their little tiny part. But you mentioned the principle of consent, and this is something that I harp on over and over on my show, is that they do. They are bound by the principle of consent, although they don't have to have our, the general public's consent to for these weapons or anything, but they do in general, like you're talking about the movies and popular culture and things like that, do require our consent. They are bound by that. It is a spiritual principle, and even when they use subterfuge and outright deception to obtain that consent, hey, we still gave consent. It's kind of like, well, you didn't say no, so that meant yes. All right.
I'm gonna cut you off there just because I'm sick of you. No, we're going into another break right now. Like to break it up, give people a little bit of chance to stretch their legs out. We have a couple requests for some topics in the chat room, and when we get back, we're gonna switch over to the mind control aspects of all this technology. We're gonna get into. We've been previewing you giving you a little preview of the tech, letting you know what's around, and kind of the benign dangers of the stuff, and we're going to get into the overt stuff when you guys return on the other side of this break, and we're going to get into my favorite Boule Society rapper, Nas, and a little track called Hero off his new album. All right, here we go.
This is an invasion. The evil genius DJ Green, Green Lantern. Nah, that's the bomb. And this is the tape. I ain't gonna do a whole lot of talking on this tape, man. Nah, speak your mind.
Blood of a slave, heart of a king.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
It's one life to live, so live it the best you can.
What do it take to be a
cooks the castle on his back, made backer. Exotic lady, eye catcher, holla at ya. Call me the chiropractor, working like Muay Thai class. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper, distinguished gentleman. Cooks the castle on his back, made backer. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper. Another chapter, the cleanest rapper, distinguished gentleman. Cooks the castle on his back, made backer. Exotic lady, eye catcher, holla at ya. Call me the chiropractor, working like Muay Thai class. Get pressed, fire out ya. And of course, I've been the boss's back when rocking D-Boy, Eli Valor in a 190 black Benz. Now they shut down the stores that I'm shopping. Used to be train robbing, face covered in stock, and I'm him.
Chain gleamers with your lane to see and hate him or love him for the same reason. Can't leave it, the game needs him. Plus the people need someone to believe in. So when God's son will trust, cause they know I'm gonna give them what they want. They're looking for a
grip holder, reloader, come at me, I'ma rip your soldiers in half. Silverback ape, nickel plated mag, young, rich, and flashy. Young bitch, I'm nasty on black clothes, the ice lay on me so classy. And every time I close my lids, I can still see the barrel, I can still see the bridge, can still see the dreams that my niggas ain't never lived to see. Tell them angels open the door for me. From nine Berettas and moving raw, to chilling in wine cellars, sticks and humidors. That's what I call mature, that's what I call a G, that's what I call a pimp, that's what I call a gangster. To the full of shit. I'm trying to make more cream by every September 14th. That's my dream, so I can be more clean. As I grow yearly, I can see things more clearly. That's why they fear me.
Chain gleamers, but you lame to see and hate them or love them for the same reason. Can't leave it, the game needs them. Plus the people need someone to believe in. So when God's son we trust, cause they know I'm gonna give them what they want. They're looking for a
corporate side, blocking y'all from going to stores and buying it. First LA and Doug Morris was riding with it, but Newsweek article startled big rigs. They said, Nas, why is you trying it? My lawyers only see the Billboard charts as winning, forgetting. Nas the only true rebel since the beginning. Still in musical prison and jail for the flow. Try telling Bob Dylan, Bruce, or Billy Joe they can't sing what's in their soul. So entitled it is, I never changed nothing. But people remember this if Nas can't say it. Think about these talented kids with new ideas being told, but they can and can't spit. I can't sit and watch it. So shit, I'ma drop it, like it or not. You ain't gotta cop it, I'm a hustler in the studio. Cups of Don Julio, no matter what the CD call. I'm unbeatable, y'all, let's go. Invasion,
the evil genius.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas? Invasion, the Green Lantern. What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
Blood of a slave, heart of a king. Here's another classic. Blood of a slave, heart of a king.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
Blood of a slave, heart of a king. Here's another classic. Blood of a slave, heart of a king.
What do it take to be a legend like Nas?
It's one life to live, so live it the best you can.
What do it take to be a
the evil genius, Green Lantern. Hey, 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 how's it going, everybody? You're listening to Mystic Politics Radio on a very special episode featuring fried scrambled brain eggs due to cell phones and EMF. With us is our special guest, Ma Justice from the Iconoclast Report, a.k.a. Carolyn Harris, one of my favorite hosts over there at Oracle. Plus, she's just a cutie pie, too. You know, FYI, and all you guys out there, you might want to check out NWO Library. Some of her very vivacious pics are over there. What some would call a info babe. Hope you don't mind the term. And before the break, we had gotten into HART, and which is the High Altitude Aerial Research Project, I believe. You know, I always mess up that acronym. But we were getting into that and its effects, how it uses EMF, which is electromagnetic frequency, to control weather. But there's also some very other troubling things that this could be used for. Now, what was the scientist that you had mentioned real quick? It was like Eckert, or what? Who was the original? I believe 17 of the 19 original patents for a earthquake device, pretty much a earthquake generator, storm generator machine, was used in the making of HARP. I was wondering if you can get into that a little bit.
That I don't know about.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's, I believe on, I can shoot you over that YouTube vid. I do not have it available right now, but yeah, like 17 out of 19 of the patents, originally patented to make an earthquake and storm machine, was used in the making of HARP, and yet they claim that although they don't deny that it could be used for that purpose, they claim that it isn't, and they claim that they don't have the power necessary to do that. But like you said earlier, they shoot over, I think it's 100 million watts over to it, which is more than enough. Yeah, 100 billion, which is more than enough, and the exact number that the guy who made the earthquake machine speculated it would need to cause an earthquake. Which is, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I believe they're non-sequitorial impossibilities, and I think everything happens for a purpose. So being that they have the same machine made out of the same array and configuration of this guy's storm-making machine, weather modification machine, and earthquake machine, and they're using the exact same wattage and power source that this guy had speculated it would need to power this thing, I would think that this is made for something other than seeding clouds and, you know, aeronautical research and all that. Now, what are some of the other presumed effects that people are theorizing that they could be experimenting with HARP and its effect using EMF on the brain, the subconscious, and mind control?
The ELF waves do have very noted, specific, and measurable effects on both the brain and the body, depending on what particular frequency is used, the duration of the frequency, and the intensity of the a beam directed at the individual. HARP is definitely used for weather modification, but many people do theorize that it is used for mind control, behavior modification purposes. And, I mean, after reading Dr. Begich's book and his articles, I can't dispute that theory at all. Dr. Begich has done an astounding amount of research, and he's a physicist, so he's not somebody just throwing around wild claims. There is a long history of the United States government using various programs to affect people's behavior and thought processes, so that HARP would be used for that is really not surprising at all.
Yeah, definitely. And like we had mentioned earlier, I believe this was actually off air while we were prepping for the show, there's three different wavelengths that the human mind operates at. I believe it's, I don't know the exact term, but it's 12 neurological flashes per minute, 8, and 4 of the neurological cycles.
Yeah, I have those, actually.
You have those?
Because, delta waves are the lowest, and they're 0 to 4 hertz, and that's associated with the deep sleep and, beneficial for healing and that kind of thing. Theta waves are the next ones up, and they are 4 to 7 hertz, and that is the fleeting moments between sleep and waking, It's also like considered the gateway to learning and memory. The theta meditation increases creativity and learning and that kind of stuff. That's where people try to go when they're meditating. The next step is alpha waves, and they are between 7 and 12 hertz, and that is deep relaxation but not quite meditation, and that is when we start to access the wealth of creativity. Alpha is also the home of the window frequency known as the Schumann resonance, which is the resonant frequency of the Earth's electromagnetic field, and that's really important. To remember that, 7 to 12 hertz. Beta waves are between 13 and 40 hertz. I mean, that's the largest jump so far, but that's associated with peak concentration, heightened alertness, and visual acuity. And the 40 hertz beta frequency is what they call the key to the active cognition itself. So we'll get into some of the other the frequencies that are used in some of these behavior modification efforts, I think, later on.
Okay, yeah, definitely. And, I don't know. I was kind of scanning something else. I'm not sure if you had mentioned that harp is capable of producing all three of these different effects. Yeah, at one time, meaning that whether you're sleeping, meditating, awake, riding, you know, on a stationary bike, sitting there chatting away or watching TV, they can affect everybody simultaneously in huge expanses of areas. And so anybody who thinks that they're not doing this, why wouldn't they? You know, like, you know, if I was running the country and I was an evil Masonic skull and bones person trying to build a totalitarian state based on Luciferian ideals, I would use this stuff. I'm sorry, you know, it's in a game of chess, and if you have the bad intent, you would have to believe that the people are going to use the tools that are available to them, and this tool is definitely available. And it's proven, it's science from the 40s on up, so from the Russians, who we originally got this technology from, they've proven that this works. And some of the docs you shot me over earlier shows that, you know, in as little of a period of a minute, that they can use this technology to change your opinion, change your will, change your mood, change your emotion, and just control you vicariously just by the emission of these frequencies, which is just amazing. You know, I don't think, you know, people in America are really taught to, they're ingrained with this, I'm in control type situation. And when you kind of really realize, you know, how much of this, you're even our own free will isn't even safe anymore. And I think everybody needs to really kind of look at this and look at other situations where, you know, they can be affected by these things. Now, also, we wanted to get into now a little bit about EMF and ELF on mind control and conditioning. And now, how does that work? How does it manifest itself? And how do they use these things? For instance, a lot of the Russian technology which we get, how does that utilize these things to, let's say, change our will? How does that work?
Well, I think, let's see here. I think we are going to talk about MKUltra, kind of the history of how our government has used some of these experiments on the people.
Right, yeah, the psychoelectronic mind control, i.e., yeah, and that, you know, that I think that ties definitely right into what you're talking about there. Go ahead and shoot from the hip.
Well, the U.S. government knew that the Soviets at the time were bombarding the U.S. embassy in Moscow with what they called the woodpecker signal, which was a particular frequency using microwave radiation. And the Soviets had developed methods for disrupting the purposeful thoughts of humans and were using their knowledge to impact the diplomats and the staff in the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. In 1973, the CIA purposefully destroyed most of the MKUltra files concerning its research and testing on human behavior, because, of course, you know, they didn't want to get found out. Now, MKUltra was technically closed out in 1964, but some of its work was transferred to the Office of Research and Development under the name of MK Search, and it's considered to be continued until the 1970s. And, you know, the CIA worked closely with the Army in conducting LSD experiments, and they also worked with, you know, the super secret program, MK Ultra. And now MK Ultra used not only drugs on individuals, but they also used what the Russians, the then Soviets, called psychotronic weapons, which are this electromagnetic field, you know, very low frequency vibrations and extra low frequency. They used that to create, at what they said, okay, at the time, was to create multiple personalities in people, so that one, the primary personality of the person that showed during the day had no knowledge of the other personalities. And what they did is they would program each of those individual personalities and with specific jobs. Now, one of the ways they did this was with psychotronic weapons. The Russians, you know, the then Soviets, had extensive experiments that had been done from like the 20s and 30s on up on what they called psychotronic warfare. And they found that they were able to affect human beings' thinking patterns, affect the functioning of their various organs. They could induce or deprive a person of sleep, really anything that they want. And they even found a way to actually kill people remotely, explode their heart or crush their heart remotely. You don't need any assassin or any messy weapon. No, they can do it remotely. And they obviously did that on the Soviet people. But just as the United States allowed or enabled German scientists to come over in the Project Paperclip, the U.S. also helped smuggle out a lot of Soviet scientists because they wanted their information on that. And despite what it seems like in the regular corporate-controlled media, and that includes all forms of corporate-controlled media, there are really no large enemies. Everybody's really on the same team. They just kind of rotate, well, I'll be the bad guy this time, and you guys be the bad guy that time. And in actuality, the United States worked with a lot of these Soviet scientists, and they shared some information with us. And the United States went on to develop it even further.
Yeah, I'd like to interject real quick and like to say, anybody who's doesn't believe that, I mean, we're publicly funding Russian scientists right now to engineer and work on new nuclear technology, and then our CIA released reports showing that those things, they're aware that they're funding Russian scientists who are then turning that technology over to Iran right now. And even so, they're still, Iran is 10 years away. So, I mean, that's a loaded statement. So right now, while Obama talks about Iran and nuclear capability, CIA is reporting that, we know they are. We're funding the scientists who are giving them the nuclear tech, and it's not even weapon tech. It's just energy. So, I mean, you know, you have two different branches of the government talking out both sides of their mouth. You know, and it's kind of, you know, it's what do you, yeah. So, anyways. Getting back into working with them covertly, the other states or the other countries, I very much would agree with that. And we've been doing it for years. And if anybody's listened or seen the Behold a Pale Horse four-hour interview with Cooper, it talks about the secret space program that we have. You know, because NASA, it's cool, whatever. It's good for probes and stuff like that. But I don't really believe they're going to invest billions and billions into something with public oversight, even if it, you know, the public oversight is controlled, you know, by the military, and you know, the information is filtered down. I really believe that there's a secret space program, and William Cooper did a great job of exposing that, even, you know, showcasing the Russian shuttle that they have, which is identical to ours, except the Russian lettering on it, which I think is amazing. So getting back to the tech that we've got from them, as far as EMF, what else did you have to tell us about that?
Well, not so much what we got from them, but actually what it can do. Mm-hmm. We mentioned Dr. Begich earlier, and I just wanted to read a quote from him. He said, "While giving testimony to the European Parliament in 1998, I," and that's Dr. Begich, "demonstrated one such device to the astonishment of those in attendance. This particular device required physical contact in order to work and was nearly 40 years old. This area of research is one of the most important because it points to the ultimate weapon of political control, the ability to place information directly into the human brain, bypassing all normal filtering mechanisms. The feasibility of this technology was not only demonstrated in the laboratory, but also in the field using a radio frequency carrier." And he actually demonstrated this on a person in the European Parliament, and they were all just absolutely flabbergasted. And what that technology is, it's called voice-to-skull technology. And what that does is one person at one end, which isn't you, will either type something into a computer or record it, and it goes through their little magical device, and guess what? You hear it in your brain, in your own voice. Random thoughts, they could be violent or upsetting or just mildly annoying or bizarre, but you hear it in your brain, in your own internal voice that you have going on in your brain, your little internal monologue. So it will not seem like it's foreign information. And someone actually asked about the sound of silence technology, or what the military calls S-Quad, and it's also called the Stubblebine frequency. And this is used as a directed energy weapon, and that has actually been used in several different public occasions to great success. By the government. I mean, it was devastating for the people it was used on, but it was a great success for the government. And if anyone doesn't know who a former Major General Stubblebine is, he and his wife, a lady named Rima Labo, claimed to be going all around the world trying to stop Codex Alimentarius. But former Major General Stubblebine was in charge of a specific division of the military that was involved in mind control, basically. And he developed, or helped to develop, or put his stamp of approval on this particular directed energy weapon, which is called the Sound of Silence, or the S-Quad.
Yeah, I hadn't heard too much about that. I'm going to have to definitely look into more of that. Now, getting into, you mentioned direct energy weapons, or directed energy weapons, or DEW, the acronym. Now, could you get into a little bit more about that, and then we can get into a couple specific instances where people theorize that that stuff could have been used?
Well, directed energy weapons can be broadcast over a very large span, like a region of a country, a region of a, you know, anywhere. It can also be narrowed down smaller and smaller. It can be directed at a region. It can be directed at a state or a city or a city block or a particular building or one individual, because it's very important for everyone listening to understand that your brain has a very specific and unique bioelectric signature. And so that, once that is mapped, that can be tracked anywhere. So that's how that can work without having, you know, the tried and true conspiracy thing about, you know, implantable microchips. If that's not necessary anymore with this mm-hmm. technology. But directed energy weapons can use any of these different frequencies and have all kinds of different effects. I'm not sure if I mentioned all of them. I mean, besides the voice-to-skull technology, which is extremely disturbing if someone was to all of a sudden hear something bizarre in their head. It can actually interrupt the function of various internal organs, including the heart, but it can cause somnolence or sleep deprivation. They have isolated the particular frequencies, the specific frequencies of the major human emotional states, such as, violent rage or crushing depression or panic or feeling, sexual frenzy, anything that we feel, they have isolated it, and that can be induced in, again, a large amount of people all the way down, from the macro to the micro, down to one specific person. And in the transcript of the speech that I have, these generals are talking about using it for crowd control. And, that takes on a whole new meaning. Because here is a person in a crowd who can be remotely influenced to commit violent acts, whereas that individual may not have that as a general component of their personality, or, they're not necessarily prone to snapping out and breaking windows and attacking police. That mm-hmm. can be instigated remotely.
I think a lot of factors play into that. I think it's just mob mentality. I think it's just frenzy. You could have a couple agents, agent provocateurs in there, leading off the conflict, and then and then the cherry on the top is this directed frequency, which just breeding dissension in the crowd, just with their mind adapting to what's going on, mixed in with all the exterior phenomenon, then they have the interior influence as well, and that's when you get problems.
Yes, well, they were specifically discussing it, and actually have multiple documents about that, about using it for crowd control. And so that could be used in the opposite sense of what you were just speaking about, trying to calm down an angry mob, mm-hmm. maybe affecting them with a sudden attack of somnambulance or crushing depression or hopelessness.
Right.
It can be used in either case. But specifically, they discussed affecting one individual in a crowd to incite them to do whatever, or the opposite. But I think that's really important because it's not just used for crowd control. I did a show on mind war and gang stalking, and talked about how these directed energy weapons are tested on individuals. Now, we all pretty much use MySpace, Facebook, all the little different social networking sites, but they are called, they are actually invented by DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Program Agency. And DARPA calls all of these little social networking programs or sites scalable social network analysis. And it is a way to get people to give up information that is not contained in other records that the government easily has access to. So stop filling out those stupid quizzes on MySpace, people. You're voluntarily giving up your information.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Ma, what we're going to do, we're going to get into more about that, DARPA, the effects of the direct energy weapons, a lot more about the mind control, specific instances where it was used, all after this break. We're going to get into a cool little ditty right here, kind of a throwback a little bit, not too much. going to get into this, and then we're going to go and get into kind of upping up what we're talking about right now and theorize, kind of going to have a little romper room in the half hour and talk about possibilities of this stuff above and beyond convention. Okay, so stick with us, guys. We'll be back in about 4 or 5 minutes with our very, very special host, InfoBabe, Carolyn Harris of the Econoclast Report, in a few. See you on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. This is Mystic Politics Radio with Carolyn Harris of the Econoclast Report. And getting back from the break, we just played a little bit of Bjork for you. A little special request from Ma Justice, a.k.a. Carolyn Harris. Carolyn can be found at nwolibrary.com. That's www.nwolibrary.com. She has a lot of cool articles, articles which have been featured on InfoWars, huh, Carolyn?
That's correct.
Yeah, it's very
InfoWars,
prestigious.
Blacklisted News also.
Yeah, definitely. Blacklisted News is also a great source. That's Doug and Bales over there, Michael Bales and Doug Owens of Oracle Broadcasting, Intel Strike Report. Very good stuff over there. They take a lot of the news stories. They're kind of like Lewis Black. A lot of the New World Order news stories and of the priest class that slip through the cracks. It's all compiled in one spot. And if you want to get, I actually have links to Carolyn Harris's articles, Rogue Government and Blacklisted News on the articles page of mysticpolitics.com, which is currently under construction, but there's a little bit of content there. It changes. It's updated daily. You can go check that out there. It's a nice little all-in-one-spot place, kind of like the Super Chats. The Oracle listeners know what I'm talking about there. But before the break, we were getting into EMP and crowd control and isolated incidents. Now we want to get into group fervor and what it can be done. And Carolyn had shown me a little bit of stuff showing that she has docs showing that this technology was used in the Iraq war, the current conflict, when the big statue of Saddam got toppled. And I found that very interesting, and I was hoping she could let you guys know a little bit more about that.
Sure. Dr. Begich was talking about how he suspected that the reasons the Iraqis gave up en masse was not because of the heavy bombardments, but because they were being hit with the new non-lethal systems, which created fear and perhaps even worse. He uncovered research to show that that was actually the case. What the Voice of the Gulf began broadcasting, along with prayers from the Quran and testimonials from well-treated Iraqi prisoners, was precise information on the units to be bombarded each day, along with new silent psychological technique, which induced thoughts of great fear in each soldier's mind. And, of course, that makes a lot of sense now that we have learned a little bit about what these directed energy weapons can do. Now, the article that I wanted to read a little snippet out of is called A PSYOPS Bonanza on the Desert, and that was written in 1991 and published by the ITV News Bureau. And it says, author says, I read an article shortly afterwards where a soldier in Desert Storm said that everyone in his unit was given a special lead-lined helmet to wear on a particular day. And you will all remember this day. It was the day where the giant Saddam statue was toppled. The soldier's task was to set up devices on the rooftop, along with his fellow soldiers, that broadcast the signal. Basically, it was set in a triangle. Okay. Now that signal was sent out at the frequency that whipped up the crowd into a frenzy as the statue was toppled, which, by the way, was done by American soldiers. So that was not their honest, natural reaction. It was due to the frequency that was inciting those feelings within them. Now, not that Saddam is good, but it's just an example of how it was used. It was not their idea to topple that statue. It was the American military's idea, probably way high up brass, to make a wonderful, fabulous photo op that all of us remember being broadcasted repeatedly. So it was used in the Gulf War, and it was also apparently used in Waco. There is footage of that horrible incident that shows that there was a small satellite-looking disc that was erected and pointed at the compound. And some of the people who were there at the time, speaking on the condition of anonymity, of course, have said that they noted, you know, when this compound was set on fire in several different areas, some of the cult members, or I don't really know what to call them, some of the people inside came running out of the building, which would be your natural reaction to get away from the fire. Well, once they came out and they had been bombarded with these waves, they turned around and ran right back into a burning building, which is, of course, completely unnatural. So there is a very strong suspicion and speculation, especially of the people that were present at that horrible incident, that this directed energy weapon was used at the poor people of the Waco compound also. So it really isn't all that big of a surprise, considering that was kind of a coup on the part of the government also. You know, it was on many levels, you know, to show that their level of control over people. And it worked. Unfortunately, it did.
Yeah,
and,
I think the whole Waco phenomena was a complete psyop from its inception. I've seen a lot of researchers, or one in particular that I really respect, mentioned that her, invisible person, had speculated that, you know, David Koresh himself might have been an agent or an agent provocateur, almost like a Sung Young Moon kind of government-sponsored nutcase. Someone to kind of a honeypot, if you will, to bring in all the dissidents under one roof, and they pretty much made an example out of those people. I don't agree with what the government did and everything, but that doesn't take away from the fact that I believe that whole situation might have been created to show us what happens when you try to band up, pretty much, and it's just... The whole thing is just very sad. To me, the more I look into the stuff, the depth that these people will go to, and they being the priest class, the federal government, whatever you want to call them, because, you know, if you really believe the federal government is calling the shots still, then, you know, I don't know. You need to do a little bit more research, because everything that these people do is coordinated into the great work. Which is, you know, a totalitarian one-world government, you know, under the principles of Luciferianism, you know, through co-opted secret societies, which at one point might have been good, as in the Freemasons, who at one point just seemed to be into sacred geometry and may have been descendants of the demigods from the past, I believe, and the Rosicrucians, who probably were, you know, a benevolent organization, probably just into, you know, Goetia and different forms of magic and things like that, and, you know, John Dees, and, you know, people who really did not seem to be evil people. But, like, any organization over time, especially with any kind of power, they get co-opted. You know, people go in there and they infiltrate them and they turn these bad. Now, through these secret societies now, we're pretty much being steered into one direction, and that is just just globalism. It's an anti-national fervor, and you had shot me over a doc. Do you have that PDF that you can shoot into the chat room?
I don't know.
The one discussing where basically Clinton had signed away the rights of the U.S. government. Or basically, the U.S. government cannot regulate how much of our troops are controlled by the U.N. anymore. So basically, the U.S. Army in total is really ran by the U.N. now, kind of unbeknownst to a lot of people. And it's not really secret. I mean, these are all public bills and, you know, public legislation. So getting into a lot of that stuff, kind of got off subject there. But, you know, that's where we're going, folks. And that's this stuff is real, folks. And that's pretty much what we're going to do. And, you know, and one of the reasons I really like Carolyn's show is it's just dealing with the facts. You know, there's no solutions to be met. I believe a lot of these, the priest class has been playing a game of chess for about 1,000 years now, it seems. And they're really kind of in the final days. And anybody who would rise up and kind of whatever, they're just going to get smacked down. No one is near organized enough yet to get into them and really challenge their authority. So what me and Ma, I'm speaking for her real briefly, I believe what we're doing is just trying to illuminate people as to who your keepers are, what the goals are, and then leave it up to yourself. Illuminate more people. Let them know what's going on, because their rule is by covert means. They're not overt. We don't know. And I believe if the populace really knew what was going on, we just wouldn't stand for it. But they're so clever with these psyops and the MK Ultra, the whole thing where they get a proposed, you know, controlled opponents, people like Ron Paul, people like Alex Jones. They sent these heroes up and they give them to us, and these heroes do nothing more than to try to, they lead you down the path of truth a little bit, then they wave you over to the side and they distract you on some little subpath that, you know, doesn't, and they just, and then if you notice, these all these other people in the truther community, once one or two of them get too high and they start getting on too much of the same page and they're uniting two big different fan bases, well, then they have to split the fan bases by doing a little phony battle, kind of i.e. that Tom Braden, Pat Buchanan, and Larry McDonald fake fight on CNN Crossfire way back in the day, you know, CFR and CNP and a Jesuit all arguing just for the public's sake, just to show dissension between those parties to really solidify the idea that they are separate entities when they're really not. You know, when you go up and kind of tying into what you were talking about last week in regards to the Tavistock, how one think tank really has about 3,000 think tanks underneath it or so, different organizations, a lot of members who probably think that they're individuals and they're doing their own thing and, you know, their ideals are different from the others, but they're just like terrorist cells and they're all performing, they're all compartmentalized, all performing one little bit of the great work for the grand effect, which is what we're getting into here. So real quickly, we have about 10 minutes left. You had mentioned to me a couple times, and I would concur, about the school shootings. And you had mentioned, if anybody has a little bit of info on particulars in regards to the two, I know there was two recent school shootings which happened across the country, which had very similar circumstances, which had the same number of deaths in it. And it seems for a while that we were getting these random factions of violence that were all kind of in the same power. This what's this new neo-Nazi's name who went into a museum and shot a black dude? And all this stuff that's going on, I believe a lot of this may be EMF.
Well, that is a very, very definite possibility. I mean, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the covert programs that were used to basically modify people's personalities and create perfect patsies for them. They can program someone to be an assassin, and that person will never, ever know, and they can be triggered basically into action with a code word or a phrase or a set of numbers or a tone or whatever it is that their handler chooses to...
That NLP?
That's a little different.
Okay.
But whatever their handler chooses as the specific code to spur them into action. And there have been many, many instances of that. And, of course, most people are familiar with the phrase Manchurian Candidate, where that is exactly what occurred. And I have a great book in the library entitled, let's see, Operation Mind Control by Walter Bowart, B-O-W-A-R-T. And the documents are in the EMF-ELF section. I believe it's under psychology in the New World Order Library at www.nwolibrary.com. But he talks about in his book, which I believe was written in like 1978, about how the author of The Manchurian Candidate had read a little bit, but the rest of it was his imagination, and he had no idea how close to reality he actually was. In regards to what both the American and the Soviet, the then Soviet, governments were working on, and how far they had actually come to being able to completely control a person's mental facilities. And his book was about hypnotizing someone, but you know we're way beyond that now. But just like you're saying, I mean, any or all of these incidents may have been the result of someone who had been programmed unbeknownst to them and triggered into committing an action. Because how many times have we heard from the perpetrator's family that they're just shocked that this not the way that their relative ever behaved. They had no idea. They had such deep-seated problems and, you know, personality defects, whatever, because, of course, they had never displayed any of those characteristics before. And that is exactly how that works. So it really was a very creepy to have these mass shootings on the same day with the exact same number of victims and the exact same style. It was just a little bit too coincidental. And like you said, you don't really believe in coincidence. I don't really either. So that should say something.
Yeah, definitely. And let's see here. We got into everything. Well, you know what? I think we pretty much covered everything that we were had issued out in our little pre-interview here. Now, is there, what do you have coming up for us next week? I can't remember off the top of my head, but I remember it was a very interesting subject coming up on your Iconoclast report this Saturday, which is 12 to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. When is it in your timeline, Carolyn?
I'm on the Eastern Standard, so it's 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am going to be discussing public education, training the generations for slavery, because I'm going to get into the history of public education and all the players who are involved in that. I'm actually going to get into the history of education back, you know, farther than most people would. I'm going to talk about the people who were instrumental in regular public education in the United States, and how that has evolved, what their goals were in their own words, and how it has affected our society and our civilization, and what's going on with public education at the present, and how it is affecting us now. And really, you know, most of us went to public school. Even those of us who went to parochial school, you know, we really didn't get a real education. What they have said in their own words is that it's not about educating us. It's about training us to be good little slaves. So mm-hmm. We're really going to get into the nitty-gritty on the next show, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I really get a lot out of your shows, and it's kind of like I like the way you format it, because it's not free flow. It's scripted, and, you know, in doing it that way, it's just jam-packed with info, and it's one of those deals where it's like a Bill Cooper type show where you really have to break out the pencil and notepad and take notes and research these leads that you're giving them. And I'd like to reiterate, everything that Ma talks about is documented. She doesn't get into the speculative at all, and if she does, it's somebody else who's speculating based on a lot of other sources. So it's nothing subversive. It's everything's right out in the open. She is doc sourcing everything, and it's very, very good to get into. Now, I dropped some links in the chat room, and for the benefit of our archive listeners, I'll go ahead and read them off. You can contact Ma Justice via www.nwolibrary.com, and that by this Saturday, do you think you'll have the new website up this Saturday?
Hopefully.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. FYI, me and Carolyn Harris have been working on her website. We're updating it and get everything in a more user-friendly format. It looks awesome. I can't wait to help her promote it a little bit. I think she has great content. And, you know, if the goal is illumination and letting people know what their handlers are, Ahmad Justice is definitely doing the job. Also posted links to her MySpace page, which is myspace.com/majustice, all one word, MAJUSTICE. Also, you can reach her at myspace.com/iconoclastreport, all one word, and also at twitter.com/iconoclastshow. All of those are good links to get her at, and you can see her or hear her live and chat with her at OracleBroadcasting.com this Saturday, coming up 12 to 2 Central Standard Time and 11 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. Okay, guys, well, I want to thank you, Ma. This has been a great show. It's been one of my favorites. I feel like we covered a lot of information here, a lot of good sources on it. And once again, if anybody wants to get a lot of the source documents we're talking about here, you can get them at nwolibrary.com/library. And I recommend you listen to a lot of articles, and she has a lot of cool photos up there, too. All right, Carolyn, thank you for coming on. And we're going to go ahead and go to a little outro song, going to hear a little bit of it, and then we're going to be out of here. All right, peace.
You hear me now? Good.
Blueprint
best
2, baby.
Times, worst of times.
Ow.
It's the gift and the curse.
R-O-C, yeah, number one click. Hey, if you represent us, throw them diamonds up, yeah. Now let's be clear, I ain't going nowhere. Now that you know, holla at your boy. Oh, oh, yeah, oh. Memphis, where you at, nigga?
Right here.
Snatch Cam and it's a rap. This here rap belong to us. Nobody strong as us. It's a fact. Hold up, I'm just warming up. Give me a second to get it back. Young Crip, yeah. Need fuck. Yeah. Old Skin Owens, fuck. Next summer, Joe Summer, tear this motherfucker up. Young is eternal, my young is a brand new. The blueprint birth you, nigga, I earth you. Can't be serious. Young cause I'm 32. Dress like I'm 22. Flow like I'm 18. Do what I wanna do. Going on my eighth ring.